We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land which this podcast is produced on, the land of the Cammeraygal people. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Long range try, and it goes in! And we have liftoff in the Australian Championship, the most spectacular goal you're likely to see.
Hello once again to the best football fans in Australia. And I say that as you all must know your ball knowledge to be tuning into SBS's Championship Corner podcast, the best place to get all the latest news and action from the Australian Championship. If you're listening for the first time though, my name is Nick Pagano. Alongside me is Adrian Artuli. And today we have two very special guests joining us. From SBS Croatian, it is Mirna Primorac. I don't know if I've gotten that right at all. If you could maybe help me along with the last name pronunciation, that would be great.
It was almost right. It's Mirna Primorac.
Ah, damn it.
So Primorac.
So why don't you have the ch sound at the end of the name?
So in most of Croatian or Eastern European surnames, we have that ch or ch at the end. And when it's finishing with either of those two letters, it needs to have I in the front. So each.
Oh, yeah.
So my maiden name is Dolic. It's spelled D-O-L-I-C, but it's finishing with ich.
Okay.
So I'm just Primorac with a C.
I understand that you've been taking pride in Croatia's place in these Oz Championship games, specifically with Canberra, Croatia. You've managed to get to a few of the games. And how's that been for you?
It's been pretty good. I actually went to yesterday's game and it was really nice to see how much Croatian community in Melbourne came out to support Canberra boys. And it was really nice. And just a game with a Preston, to give you a bit of context, so we are all from that Eastern Europe part and we speak very similar language. So to see boys before and after the game, just all the players getting together and celebrating that they each won 1 point was amazing. And Canberra has been really good through this championship. So yeah, I'm quite proud of them.
Oh, that's great to hear. And also we have a very special guest off the back of West Sarpia's 2-1 win over Sydney United. And with all the talk being of Dredden Kelly's surprising exploits in front of goal, we thought it best to go to the other end of the pitch and invite their star goalkeeper, Ollie Kalich, on the pod today. So thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
You kind of left something out pretty important there.
I guess he's pretty
well-known name.
Yeah,
what the relation is.
Yeah, for those of you who are unaware at home, Ollie is the son of Zeljko Kalich, the famous AC Milan and Socceroos goalkeeper as well. So I guess it's not a bad
actually,
coach.
Dad, isn't it, Ollie? Yeah.
Correct.
Just triple-checking. Okay.
As we edge closer to crunch time in the group stages, every single point begins to matter more and more for these teams. So Adrian is going to take us away and catch you up on which teams were able to pick up these important points this week.
Yeah, well, we're delighted to have Ollie here with us today. And obviously, we're coming off West Sarpia starting round 5 with a narrow 2-1 victory over Sydney United. And that spelled the end of Sydney United's Oz Championship campaign. Obviously, we have a Croatian theme today, so we'll get more into that. Probably one of the more disappointing campaigns we've had so far. Then on Saturday, I had the pleasure of being out at Jubilee Stadium for Sydney Olympic's match against Moreton City Excelsior. And Sydney Olympic, if football matches went for 80 minutes, they'd be one of the form teams of this championship. But unfortunately, late game goals seem to go against them, not for them. And it was another collapse. They went up 3-1. And yes, Moreton City got an equaliser in the last minute of play. It was deep into stoppage time. And if you were there, you could just tell it was going to happen. It just felt like it was coming and it was coming and it finally came. And now Olympic are in grave danger of missing out on the quarterfinals. They now face Broadmeadow next week, needing a win, and South Melbourne to do them a favour. Couldn't the Greeks look after each other and get both teams through? But we shall see. The other Saturday game was obviously South Melbourne. 5 from 5, took care of Broadmeadow. Probably the most informed team we've seen so far. And Sunday, Marconi dispatched South Hobart. They're all but through. Now, but, there's still a but. There's still a mathematical chance for the Wollongong Wolves. They drew to all with Heidelberg and now need a 6-0 win next Saturday, or a 6-goal win. manifesting that if you're a Wollongong Wolves fan, to get through in second spot with Heidelberg going through as one of the top two, but remains to be seen as they still have to play Hobart on the final round to see who goes through as top in that group. Avondale, they squeeze past NWS Spirit. They're through as the winner of their group. Now, that was another goal for Bruno Fornaroli, 4-5, so just can't stop scoring that one. Now, to Ollie's group and Metro Stars. Well, they needed a win against Bayswater City, and they did just that. So it sets up a tantalising final round there. We're all three teams. There's three teams that can go through. Ollie, you're in the box spot, but you have to play against Bayswater this Sunday, and Metro Stars are lurking. They have to play City United, need a win, and then if you and Bayswater do a handshake and both draw, you're both through, but this is football and that doesn't happen. So really interesting now, really interesting weekend, and what a final round we've got set up with still so many spots to play for. But how do you feel, Ollie? Because it was a, you know, it's been a tough, you got through on Friday against City United, but it was still a close game. Now sets up just a massive game against Bayswater, and you really want that top spot, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Look, if we can lock up that top spot, home finals, obviously massive advantage for us playing at Leichhardt Oval. We've got a good track record there, so hopefully we can go get the win and go from there.
And the turnout's been pretty good at Leichhardt, at least all the games that I've seen from there. It's been like a decent, like what, 4,000 sometimes?
Yeah, I think we had 4,500 against Sydney United. Mm. We had about 3 the other week, so
It's
good to see that the community's showing up for the games.
Yeah, considering like, you know, some of the Sydney teams have been a bit lacking in the sport supporter department, it's nice to see that, like, you know, Apia, who traditionally has been quite like, you know, community-centred, really doing the work there. So keep that going. But to jump over to one of your former clubs, Sydney United, and we don't want to sound like a broken record on this podcast, but it really hasn't been the best of campaigns for them. Started with that, you know, really freak goal against Bayswater that just kind of set the tone for the rest of their campaign, and it's just been like stuttering and only finally really looked going against you guys just the other week. That was probably, I'd say, I'm sure you would probably say they're one of their better performances. But, you know, seeing as, you know, you've played a bit there and the Croatian-ness of it all, what are your thoughts on the current situation of Sydney United? Is there a bit of a you know, happier side of you seeing as they're your rivals? Or
look, they are rivals, but I just think it's more disappointing for the community and the guys that are, you know, showing up for the games, the fans, you know, the supporters, that their team's obviously not doing so well at this tough time, but they do have a couple of good young players coming through the ranks, so hopefully they can turn it around for them.
Mira, you've obviously, you know, been to a few Canberra-Croatia games, and did you ever think that Canberra-Croatia would have more points than Sydney United, a foundation club, after this game, and sort of flying the flag, as you could say, for the Croatian community this tournament? Because after that draw with Preston, they're still alive. They're a good chance if potentially results go their way and they beat the Spirit, they could go through. So just talk to us about what it's been like for you seeing and the talk amongst the Croatian communities following the clubs throughout the tournament.
So realistically, we all expected more from Sydney United. Again, being foundation club for Australian Championship, everyone expected Sydney United just to pretty much fly through. But we are not there, and it's really disappointing for the whole community who, and considering that Sydney United has this massive history, they played in NSL, they won NSL, can't remember exactly which year. But yeah, it's been quite disappointing, and it will take a lot for community to trust them again to play well and perform better.
Yeah, and Ollie, it's fair to say that Croatia's had a pretty big impact on Australian football. You know, you look at the likes of Viduka, Popovic, Ante Kovic, and of course someone that you know very well, Mark Bosnić, of course. Now, who would you say is your favourite, you know, Croatian Aussie footballer?
That's a good question. Look, I'm going to have to go with the current one. My boy, Nik Milanović, over in Aberdeen right now. Had a gun season last year, killed it for the Wanderers. Took him to the first finals in a while, so, you know, he's doing good. Socceroos call up as well, so happy for him.
Yeah. Any one of the old boys that still ring loud? Not your old man. Not your old man. We don't want to give him too much praise, considering you're here. But any other Viduka? Because surely Viduka, man.
As a striker as well.
Like, you know, Australia just never really produced those like top quality, like almost animal bulldog type forwards. And you know, he was just a rare breed for Australia to have, I feel.
Yeah, he was a gun, absolute machine.
So, your dad's nickname is Spider. Have you never adopted the just Spider Junior nickname?
Yeah, I think just recently a couple of the boys in my team started calling me Spider Junior. So, you know, I guess we'll have to take it.
What's it like having him as a dad? And how often do you analyze performances? And what's he been like for you, obviously having played for the Socceroos, Champions League winner, and having that as your dad? Does it put pressure on you, or is it really nice to be able to have that and just be like, okay, dad, I can ask you anything, you've played at the highest level?
No, it's good. It's obviously he watches all of my games, so it's good to have someone like that that's always trying to help, wants the best for me. So I don't think it puts any pressure on me, but he just wants the best. So
is he honest with you? Like,
if you
have a bit of
sometimes
howl,
too honest.
If you have a howl, do you go, oh, dad?
I'll know about it. No.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, if he does, do you go like you against Croatia? Want to bring that back up again?
I did that once when I was younger, and it was a big mistake.
For yourself as well, how have you found the tournament as well?
It's very good. It's exciting. It's obviously like the best teams going around Australia, and it's just, I think, a good platform for everyone to showcase themselves.
Yeah, and Mirna, you, I feel we've had a bit of a talk about relegation and promotion aspects in football, and this league currently doesn't have promotion relegation. I assume that the aim is to progress to reach a point where we will be kind of feeding in between the A-League and these sorts of clubs. But how important do you see that aspect of promotion and relegation in building up not just the second division, but football in Australia in general?
I believe it's quite important. So, for example, like as you know, I'm Croatian. So in Croatia, we have that leagues where you have relegation and promotion process. And I feel here, I would like to see that mid-league between NPL and A-League. And I would like to see clubs, like community clubs, like they're playing now in Australian Championship. I would love to see them advancing to A-League to see just where will that go.
Which club would you want to see promoted? If one could get promoted from these Oz Championships, which one would you want to see?
From all the clubs, I have to go for a Victorian club. So it would probably be Heidelberg United. I think they're playing really well in the Championship and in their NLP season.
Yeah, they've been, having watched them play in person as well, I think that by far they've been one of the most impressive teams this season to achieve what they had. And I think, Ollie, this is, you know, to build on what Mirna said, it's how much have you noticed the gaps sort of shorten between the A-League and what we're seeing in the Championship so far? Because some of the play we've seen, I just think is, week in, week out, I'm taken aback by actually just how good the quality is. The games, the goals. We've had more than 100 goals in 5 games. Like, the quality of play is sensational. And as someone in it right now, what's it like for you? Because there's players there for me that are easily could be playing, and imagine what they could be doing if they were fully professional.
Yeah, 100%. I think the big difference between the NPL and A-League, probably everyone said it, is just they train full-time professional gym programs, strength training, everything. They've got the lot, whereas most of us are working full-time jobs, part-time jobs, 2-3 nights a week training. So I think there's some absolute guns in the NPL and in the Oz Championship that could easily be playing in the A-League.
And you've jumped around Europe, or at least from Croatia and Austria, I believe, was your two countries that you spent time abroad in playing. And what was your experiences like over there? Not just from like the whole, you know, difference in intensity, whatever, but like maybe in training regimes and stuff like that. Did you notice any like real big differences?
Look, I think the quality over here of the players is better, actually. Just even when I was in the fourth division over there, I was training full-time, 4 or 5 times a week, games on the weekend, recovery sessions, gym. So, I mean, they don't take it lightly over there, the football. But I spent a bit of time at Dinamo second team, and the quality there was very good. Some absolute ballers over there.
Did you play with anyone that ended up making first team? Or?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of boys playing for, like, the Croatian national team now. Baturina, he was a gun.
I remember, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to hopefully give you an opportunity to name drop, you know, just boost your ego a bit.
I don't know. He plays with Drayden Kelly, mate. He doesn't need a name
drop. The best of them all.
You know, who's your biggest character in your team?
Uchino. Yeah, he's a legend.
Poor Jordan Segretto. He comes on our podcast. Yeah. He needs to do a lot of, you know, we've got to do a lot of work with old Jordan, you know.
Well, I mean, with Kelly scoring at his rate, I feel like, you know, when Jordan gets back, is he going to have a spot up top? Is it just going to be Kelly taking all three positions? And so, Mirna, obviously we've got, you know, goalkeeper and then son of an Aussie legend goalkeeper here. If you were a footballer and got the chance to play, not necessarily maybe what position you think you'd be best in, but what would you want to play in? What position do you see yourself in?
Oh, goalkeeper, 100%.
Oh, that's not, come on.
As a kid, so I grew up in a Bosnia post-war, so there was not much to do for us as kids. And there was heaps of us kids. So we would, put two goals from, you know, find two random stakes, have two goals, and we would play against each other. So I was always goalkeeper, so I would just continue with that.
Mirna, talk to us about your memories of football and obviously, yeah, growing up and how important that was and your journey to Australia, but also just how important football's been. It can do so much for so many people, but what's it meant to you in life?
Oh, look, it's one of those things that shapes you as a person. So football is so big in Croatia and in Bosnia. So I'm from Croatian part of Bosnia. And Zlatko Dalic, current coach of Croatian national team, is actually my neighbour. So we know each other.
That's just a good name drop.
Yeah, it's just like a, yeah.
Just get him on the phone actually, right now, Mirna, if you can. You know, we just...
Yeah,
just,
and I can get a few more guys on the phone as well. So I know quite a bit of really famous Croatian players, which is good. But yeah, football for us is like, it's second most important thing for Croatians. So first is obviously family, and second is soccer. So whenever we have soccer on TV, everything stops. Everyone is just watching it. And if you're a Croatian and if you're not into soccer, it's like something is not really right with you. But yeah, growing up that way and supporting one of those biggest clubs, like you live it every Sunday, you know, whenever is a game, whenever, like, even if it's like a wedding. If someone is having a wedding and there's a game at that time, everyone just watches soccer. Like, wedding stops for a while and then we just watch it and then continue afterwards. It's a massive thing.
I was going to ask Mirna, what was your memory of the 2018 World Cup for Croatia? Were you in Croatia for that?
No, I was actually here. That was Russian, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because that was obviously like the tournament that really like Croatia announced themselves on like the world stage in that capacity. But I was just going to ask, like, how important or what was the reception of that like from Croatia? Like, you know, you even being in Australia, what was the reception like for Croatia's success on that level?
It was just massive pride. Everyone was just supporting the whole team and like the whole nation pretty much stopped for the duration of that championship. And I know a lot of people so Croatia is not really far from Russia. So a lot of people just went there to watch the game. They would go in a game and come back home pretty much the same day if they're able to. But it was one of those things, as you said, that really put Croatia on that soccer map again, because we had that period where we didn't win anything. But yeah, we won silver then. We ended up second, and it's everything sort of snowballed from there. So everyone just started picking up on the soccer. Like, even I notice here in Croatian community, people who are Croatians, part of community, they were never into soccer before that moment. And then from there, everyone just started signing up their kids for soccer lessons in all the like local clubs like Melbourne Knights and Auburn's Dinamo. So it sort of brought that pride back.
I was just going to say to Mirna, like, as well, and Ollie to you too, like, the Croatian Football Association's actually made a concerted effort in Australia to target diaspora. They run a lot of clinics here. Obviously, Zlatko Dalic has come out here. Talk to us about that sort of connection, because people may not realise just how much you look at someone like even recently Adrian Segacic, you know, there's interest from Croatia as well, but there's such a common link. Look at our national team coach, which is something I'll ask you about in a second, but just talk to us about how that sort of evolved over time as well.
So Hrvatski nogometni savez, HNS, they are coming every year to for the past few years to Melbourne. So they have academy at Melbourne Knights. And I know every year more and more kids are signing up for that. So we had absolute legend Stipe Pletikosa. He was here every year. We had Zlatko Dalic here as well. Support from Croatian Football Federation here in Australia has been amazing. But we also had Dinamo stuff come out. So there is St. Albans Dinamo Club here in Melbourne. And it's not really known. I don't know why it wasn't really that promoted. So Dinamo staff and coaches came here to for the first time ever. And they had their own camp and academy in St. Albans Dinamo in St. Albans. And that has been amazing. There was a lot of kids signing up for that. And they even... it was quite success, and that even brought to the fact that Dinamo Junior's team went to Japan to play against academies there. So it was South Asian Pacific tournament, and juniors went there to play. So it made a lot of connections, and it's really positive for the community, especially youth in the community.
I wanted to ask you, Ollie, it's easy to assume that you became a goalkeeper because of your dad, but I wanted to ask, like, did he actually have an impact on you? Because obviously it would be not a bad coach to have growing up, a personal one, but like, did he have an impact on it, or did you want to become a goalkeeper?
I've been a goalkeeper from the start, so I don't think he had any impact on it.
Yeah. And then I was also going to ask, like, if you were to play outfield, would you play in an outfield position, A, because you think you'd be good in it, or B, because you just want to, you know, annoy one of your teammates that's just giving you a bit of grief for a training?
I think I'd be a good striker. I've got a good free kick on me, good knuckleball. So.
Well, I feel like you got the height to, you know, be a decent target man.
Yeah,
up top,
good header.
Win some headers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to use the hands, obviously. But and then similarly as well, being a goalkeeper, I would say from a striker as well, that's, you know, having to go up against you guys, but it is a really thankless job that goalkeepers have. You know, you make 99 saves in a game, and, you know, people will just say that's your job, and then the one mistake or the one shot that goes in, it's, you know, all fingers are pointed at you. And would you say that goalkeeping is the hardest position in football, not from athleticism or anything, but just got to be switched on for the whole game?
Yeah, I'd say physically it's definitely not the hardest, but mentally you've always got to be aware, alert, positioning. You can't switch off for half a second just because you never know what's going to happen next. So you always got to think one step ahead, two steps ahead. So I do think physically probably not, but mentally and preparing 100%.
And do you what do you do to like keep yourself switched on during the game? Like, do you have like, are you talking to your defenders? Are you watching the game, trying to read it? How do you like stay switched on?
I just try to talk as much as possible just so it keeps my head in the game. I'm always moving around, so I think communication for me is what keeps me switched on the most.
And now it's time for us to look at our SBS moment of the week. And if you haven't been following along for the last few episodes, it's a moment of this podcast where we pick out either a significant, bizarre, or just downright sexy moment. I'll kick things off with my moment. And I have got to go with bizarre for the free kick routine from the Avondale game against NWS Spirit. And look, I've seen a few, you know, interesting routines and teams trying to, you know, catch defenders out with an offside trap or whatever, but I'm not sure if there was any planning for that. And have you seen it, Adrian?
No, I just, Ollie, would that have even confused you? Because I don't know what, I think they confuse themselves.
Yeah.
Look, I think it was done on purpose, I'm not going to lie.
So then, Adrian, what would you say yours is going to pick?
It's a tough one this week, but I'll have to go with the significance of the Moreton City comeback. Just being there and just seeing another sort of, yeah, as you said, another foundation club. We've spoken about Sydney Olympic earlier, Sydney United earlier, should I say, and then Sydney Olympic now, you know, facing elimination. And they had it in their own hands, really. And it was the story of their campaign. I've never seen a team, just been able to just throw away leads or in the last bit of a game. It's a special quality. Like, I was trying to ask them, what is it? Is it a mental thing? Is it a tactical thing? And no one could put a finger on it, but it's that's pretty significant to be able to lose that many games in the last, or drop that many points in the final 10 minutes of games. It's quite fascinating. And now it's all for them to do next week against Broadmeadow. But Moreton City, Queensland Premiers, the significance of another club qualifying through is very likely now. And I think that's, for me, one of the best parts is seeing the clubs that aren't the foundation clubs that have qualified. We've already seen Heidelberg qualify, potentially Moreton City. Look at Ollie's group. You've got West Harpy to go through, most likely, but Bayswater or Metro Stars, one of them are going through with West Harpy, and potentially both of them in the unfortunate event that Ollie somehow concedes 6 goals or something like that. We don't see that. We don't foresee that happening this weekend, but Ollie's already planning not to do that. I think that's the significant thing for me, is seeing these clubs be able to, you know, perform and match it, really. You'd think Foundation Club, they'll close it out. Nah.
But on Olympic, I've had this thought for a while now. And in Spain, I'm an Atletico Madrid fan myself. And we have this phrase we use at the club, which is El Pupas, which means the cursed ones. And it's not even for, just always losing. It's almost for the manner in the defeat, in like you've gotten so close to either a victory or you've so close to crossing the line, and then it's just snatched away right at the end. And, you know, because you compare it to like South Hobart, who I see as a team that's, you know, just being outplayed in week on week. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, with Olympic, it's like they've been in amongst the games that they've been playing in. Like, you know, they're not dysfunctional and completely collapsing throughout the entire game.
I don't know, Ollie. I think as well, part of it is their own doing. Like when you sit back and invite pressure, well, you know, you've only got yourself to blame, right? Like, again, they're up 3-1. When you shut up shop, Ollie, you know, as a goalkeeper, you sit there sometimes going, hey, let's press a bit. Let's get forward.
So like when you guys have a lead, like, and you're looking to hold on, do you actually prefer to be sitting back, having the team sitting back deeper, the defense closer to you, or do you prefer them to be pushing up and trying to pin them back, even though you know the opposition's getting forward?
I think you just got to manage the game. You got to see what the game's feeling like. If you're under the pump, maybe it's time to, you know, absorb some pressure, take your time, waste some time. But I mean, if you've got momentum, you may as well go for another goal.
Yeah, you've never goal time attack. Wasted though. You've never.
Not for me.
Never.
Oh, turn it up. What's your moment, mate?
My moment would have to be the volley from the Metro game.
Oh.
I think it was that second goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was unreal.
Because like, and you're obviously being a keeper, but like the ones where you've dived and it's like, you know that you can't do much more for it.
And he took it nice and early as well. Yeah. I don't think the keeper was ready.
No.
And he's just hit it right under the bar. No chance.
Yeah, no, that's
too good.
Yeah, what about, did you caught the first goal as well? The, you know, Bergkamp-esque touch over the defender.
Yeah, that was a great touch as well.
Yeah,
but I still think that second goal outdoes it just by a bit.
Yeah.
And for you, Mirna, what would be your moment of the week? Obviously, you know, just manifesting, you know, next week, potentially Canberra-Croatia qualifying alongside Avondale. But obviously that's, you know, that's all in the crystal ball, you could say. But what was your moment from round 5?
So from round 5, so now when you mentioned Avondale, I would say Bruno Fornaroli goal against Spirits. That was one of the quite significant moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that that goal was significant in particular as well, not just for him being able to turn
it up. Because it was offside?
Because it was offside. That's what I mean. And like, he had that first penalty against...
We'll never know. We'll never
against
know.
Against NWO Spirit, and then this one, and it's...
Yeah. Well, we'll call it offside, but our opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I hope he won't score against Canberra next time, because he did us 2 in the first round, in the round 1. So I hope that he will not do any damage this week.
Yeah, we'll say some prayers for you then, Merna and Canberra, Croatia.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
We will need it.
And so as we wrap up the show today, Ollie, obviously a big game for you. We've touched on it a bit, but I want to ask, if for this game, would you, even though there's not too much pressure on the score itself, but would you rather the game come down to your heroics, or would you rather not have to be involved in it and just let the team?
I'd rather let the players do their thing, score 3-4 goals.
So you don't want to take the headlines? You don't want to?
No. We'll let the attackers do that this week.
Also, as well, you don't want to go in, even if you do lose and you can progress with a loss, you don't want to go in to a game like the knockout phase, especially you want to sew up top spot as well.
100%. We want to go in with confidence, get the goals in, hopefully score a couple this week, and then be ready for the quarters.
Home final as well, and I've seen that Tony Rossidi on Facebook, he wants a record crowd for the championship. Obviously, I think he wants more than 7,000. Is it nice to see, though, the club sort of, we had Sushi Mango there the week before, but also the club can trying to push the envelope, you could say?
Yeah, 100%. It's nice to see that the club's really pushing the crowds and communities coming out, like I said. And it's just a result of all the hard work that the media's put in and the club's put in.
It is, unfortunately, all the time we have for in the studio today. But the Oz Championship content will continue to roll out this week. So make sure you're following SBS Sport on all your social media platforms to keep up to date for it. And there's still so much to be playing for in this final round of the group stage matches. And all of them will still be live and free on SBS. So you're not going to miss a minute of that. But once again, from myself, Adrian, the great guests that have joined us here today, and everyone at SBS, it's bye for now.